Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Steve, you're going to get ready to share with us, talk to us about the Israeli defense soldier and what he was able to witness after they interviewed him from Gaza, the Gaza Strip himself.
Well, we've talked about previously that, I mean, obviously in times of war, you're going to have casualties. Both, you know, we've shared how the Palestinians are being affected, but also, too, it's just like there are Israelis that are being affected. There's loss of lives. There's also casualties. Guys are getting shot. And in one specific account, there's a gentleman, and due to security, they've removed his name, and is Sergeant O. And his unit was basically tasked with, there on the southern port of Israel, went into Gaza. And the amazing thing was, after speaking with his commander, the commander had said specifically, you know, we're not here specifically for contact, meaning the fact of being in fire with Hamas. We're specifically here to find the tunnels. And what was surprised to Sergeant O was the fact that there were no civilians. It was already evacuated. And apparently, because obviously they had gone, but they were specifically there to find tunnels. And in this patrol, if you will, while they were in Gaza, what he had found and what he had saw shocked him so much was the fact that he consistently saw, and I'm just going to read, I just want to read a brief sentence of what he put. In every house, we found magazines, newspapers, and other media for anti-Israel propaganda. We even found some documents containing plans to conquer Israel to build a Palestinian state over the land of Israel. And in this, he has pictures of basically weapon caches. He's got basically weapon systems right next to a crib in a residential home.
Wow.
And as I was reading this, in just a few sentences, it was so eerily similar to what I saw, because I was overseas twice in Iraq with the Marines, and we operated just in the proximity of Fallujah, central Iraq. And that is the amazing thing, because it's the exact same tactics, because I could walk into any house, and if a five-year-old came to the front door, I would say, "Where's your machine gun?" He would walk us to the room where it was. He could unload it. He could rack it, basically pull the bolt back, tell us if it was ready to fire. They were so well acquainted with weapon systems. It was scary, but the same thing, too, that was how they operated. And as I was reading this and I saw this picture, like I said, you'll see two explosives that is basically wired. Basically, you can just pick it up, what looks like anti-tank mines, literally underneath a bed next to a crib. And I remember specifically, we were on a just doing knock and talks, walking through a specific house. And I went to, because every time you go into a house, you want to check out all the rooms. And again, this is a time when I was in Iraq. And I go to open up a cupboard. And on this cupboard, children's being young, they doodle, they have crayons, they draw stuff. And I had seen a little children's cartoon, picturesque, whatever you want to describe it as. But it was basically of an anti-tank truck, I guess. And it was basically of just that image of terrorists fighting against American soldiers with anti-tank guns and RPGs. And it's like, these are children. They're not drawing sunshine. They're not drawing kitty cats.
They're drawing bombs.
Wow. But that's the thing that we're talking about, getting an empathetic understanding of urban warfare. And it's like, this is the type of things that the IDF is encountering on a daily basis when they're having to be tasked to go into Gaza. They're seeing this, and it's just like, there is no safe zones. Yeah. And you don't know. It's not just like a normal cache in the middle of a field. It's right next to them in a residential area in the baby's room.
Amazing. Amazing. We're going to continue in our program. You know, today's program is first the Saturday people, then the Sunday people. And we know what's been going on in Israel and during, you know, Operation Protective Edge. But we're going to be talking and shifting over to be speaking about what has been happening in Iraq and what's happening to Christians due to the persecution that's coming from the Islamic State, the ISIS. I mean, these guys are being reported. There are more ferocious, if you will, than Al-Qaeda, but evil is evil. Yeah. I mean, come on, evil is evil. And they have been persecuted. They've been taking huge, huge pieces of land. I mean, they're in Syria. I believe they're in parts of Lebanon. They're in parts of Iraq. They actually control a water dam now that if they let it go, could flood all the way down to Baghdad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they actually have that in their control. And because of a recent place that they were able to conquer and move into, they have now forced many Christians and many Iraqis on top of Sinjar Mountain. And this is an atrocity. These folks are fleeing for their lives, so they have to go up into this mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have either been like, what do? You either starve up there or you come down and risk being slaughtered.
Mm-hmm.
And the United States has just been able to send some humanitarian aid. But we want you to see this video from CNN. We want you to see this so that you can see firsthand a little bit of the children and what's happening when folks have to leave their home and go hide in the mountain to save mm-hmm. their life. Watch this.
Desperation on a mountaintop. Kurdish civilians, some clearly wounded, baking in the August sun. This little girl crying, "I lost my sister and brother. Where is my mother?" With every passing day, Kurdish officials say more people die here of dehydration and exposure to the extreme August heat. Kurdish officials say tens of thousands of people from the Yazidi religious minority fled to this mountain ridge to escape ISIS militants who recently captured the nearby town of Sinjar. ISIS have the Yazidis surrounded, the trapped people relying on airdrops of vital water and food delivered by the U.S. and Iraqi air forces. Kurdish TV released this footage of a helicopter delivering assistance to the same area. A lucky few make it on board the flight to safety. Their faces pretty much say it all. Not far away, ISIS militants have been celebrating their latest advances, showing off their control of the Mosul Dam, a strategic piece of Iraqi infrastructure. If it breaks, it could flood all the way down to the capital, Baghdad. Further east, U.S. airstrikes appear to have slowed the ISIS advance, bombing suspected ISIS positions just west of the Zab River, just 20 minutes' drive away from Erbil. Kurdish officials relieved and thankful for the U.S. intervention.
We are most grateful and express our gratitude and deep, deep appreciation for President Obama and the U.S. administration and for the courageous U.S. Army and airmen who are now patrolling the skies of Iraq and Iraqi Kurdistan.
U.S. air power has given the Kurdish administration in Erbil the opportunity to bolster its defenses around this fragile sanctuary in the north, where hundreds of thousands of Iraqis fled to escape the ISIS advance. Ivan Watson, CNN, Erbil, in Iraq.
This is amazing. This is amazing. When you see children crying, I mean, they're thirsty. They're being dehydrated. I worked in the yard this summer, and I don't like this summer, just this weekend. I was walking back there throwing some seeds, and I'm drenched. I could only imagine just sitting up there on top of this mountain, and they're dying because of dehydration.
Imagine 120 degrees, if not hotter.
Wow.
Amazing. You know, and we have to grow in compassion, empathy. And you look what happened. I mean, you're hearing from the Iraqi foreign minister expressing his gratitude, expressing his thanks to the president, because the president over the weekend sent in a couple of fighters there and sent some humanitarian aid to help the people out. They've dropped them down, but he's also authorized these fighters to fire upon ISIS if American interests were being jeopardized. And you look at this and you say, how did we get here? I mean, how did we get here? You know, we went into Iraq. We helped liberate a country. They said we'll welcome us as freedom fighters for them. And then we pull out. And this, I mean, it's almost like the second we pull out, evil comes right on in.
Mm-hmm.
And we have lost major advances. And I think about the men. I think about the women that served in our in our arms military, who've left their families, they've left their way of life, like Steve, who's done two tours of duty, and And then what? Now what? Mm-hmm. Now what? Now we have a crisis there, and you know, and the president's saying that he doesn't want to have any boots on the ground. Well, you know, we don't have any boots on the ground. How are we going to get these people off the mountain? What are we going to do there? Now they're talking about arming the Kurds, which the Kurds have been asking for weaponry unanswered. And now we're talking about arming the Kurds. Listen, we've got to get involved. We've got to help. These are Christians. Christians right now are being persecuted. Their heads are being cut off. Mm-hmm. And this is important. Now is a time for us to stand. Now is a time as Christians to pray, to get involved, contact your local representatives, and say, we've got to do something to stand with those that are being slaughtered. We cannot remain silent. We cannot ignore this and be trapped by our luxuries. We got to say, no, this cannot stand. We got to do whatever it takes to help people. Listen to what the foreign minister said. He said, listen, the airmen are patrolling the skies. America's a great country. God's blessed us. What are we going to do with this blessing?
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.